Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 188 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, I'm going to share with you four light bulb moments that my Fitter After 40 members have as they begin that program with me. How they use the awareness that they create in these moments about their habits, their behaviors, and about their why they have struggled in the past to lose weight, and then use that awareness to propel them further in their weight loss progress, and how you can do the same thing as you build awareness. Let's go. Well, hello, my friend. Coming to you on the 21st day of September. We're all singing that song today, a little earth, wind, and fire action. I'm enjoying my September. I went for a beautiful hike yesterday. It turned out to be more of an adventure than we had bargained for. I hike with two other women, one of whom is a very experienced hiker. She regularly goes on solo backpacking trips that are weeks long. She's getting ready to head out on one in next month. She's going to be hiking for 16 days, most of it alone, down starting in Georgia, wherever the start of the Appalachian Trail is from the south heading north. She's going to start at the starting point and go north and eventually meet up with a group, but she's going to be all by herself. She does this all the time. She's very experienced. I always feel really safe when I'm with her. Yesterday, I didn't feel as safe. So three of us went out to hike. We all hiked together. They're the ladies I went to the Grand Canyon with a couple of years ago and did the rim to rim trail. So, you know, we've done a lot of hiking. We decided to go on a hike yesterday. It was supposed to be a little over 5 miles. I've been to this particular place before. It's called Hawk Mountain Sanctuary. And yes, you see hawks. And so a lot of bird watchers go. And there's an easy-ish trail up to the North Lookout where you can sit. People bring chairs up there and you can sit and watch the hawks. But then there's harder trails, and those I had not done before. And that's what we were doing yesterday. So we were doing this loop trail, and there are various trails that are a part of this trail system. And we knew that there was going to be scrambling. So like climbing over boulders using all four of your limbs, not just your feet, but you're crawling essentially using your hands and your feet. Whenever I've done this before, and most of what we did yesterday is still pretty horizontal. Like you might be up on an incline, but it's still horizontal. What I was not expecting, and I had looked at the reviews on all trails, all three of us had, well, at least two of us had, and I just looked at them again and I was like, wow, how did I miss some of this stuff? Like people literally say, expect to get some real rock climbing action within the last 2 miles. How did I miss that? I don't know how, there's over 2,000 reviews. And so I felt really confident with what we were getting into, but I do think they should actually use the word rock climbing on the signage, saying like, you're not just going to be scrambling, you're going to be actually rock climbing, because I am in no way a rock climber. I mean, I've been to a rock climbing gym, you know, you put the little harness thing on and practice and that's fine, but I've never actually rock climbed in nature. Well, I have now. Very unexpectedly, the last piece of the ascent to the North Lookout. So at this point, we've already been hiking for hours. So it's a little over five mile hike. And the woman said, even though it's 5.25 miles, it's going to feel like 12. And it was a beautiful day. It wasn't hot. So we're like, it's fine. Like we've got plenty of time. I did not expect it to take us a mile per hour. Like there's just everywhere we walked on that trail, almost everywhere, with very little exception, was incredibly rocky. And so, you know, you're carefully picking your way through so you don't roll an ankle. I feel very happy I did not roll my ankle yesterday. And then there's multiple sections where you're scrambling over boulders. And we knew that. I knew that going into it. And that's actually kind of fun. It feels a little dangerous. It feels a little bit like there could be a snake anywhere coming out of these holes. And I could fall at any time. But if you fall, you're not falling that far. You know, I did like slip and land on my butt, got a nice big bruise, but after several of these like boulder fields that were like hiking over on all fours, these scrambling, We had to like put our trekking poles away to be able to do those sections. And we expected that. Well, I really thought there was only one. Turns out there were two. Second one was larger than the first. You know, we're pretty tired by then. But what we did not know is that at the very end, not only are you scrambling over boulders, you are actual legitimately rock climbing. We were vertically climbing up boulders, like hands over our head, pulling ourselves up with our upper body strength. And you know, it was quite technical. Look, to me, maybe somebody who's an actual rock climber would be like, that was very basic and easy stuff. And that well, maybe, but I'm not a rock climber. You know, and I had my pack on my back, which had a nice fluffy jacket in it. So the pack was not heavy, but big. And then, so there were times, there was one time where I felt like to actually climb up to the next portion that my pack was getting stuck from this little rock overhanging. It was not a little rock. I don't know why I even just called that a big rock overhanging that I had to kind of like squeeze under and around. And I was, it was a very tenuous position. And behind me was a pretty big fall. Like it was not a little fall. Like if I fell off, I would get seriously injured. I was definitely having second and third and fourth thoughts about our plans at this point. But my one friend was like almost to the top at that point. My other friend was just behind her and I was the last one. And I didn't think that it'd be like appreciating me saying, I think we should go back, which would also then require us to backtrack hours. When we get to the top of this, we're basically done. Or we go back hours the way we've already come. And so I just kept going and I didn't panic because I realized there was zero space for panicking in this moment. I had to be very focused and aware. And so I made it up. I made it around and through this little rock. My friend who was just above me was saying things. And I'm like, you really should stop talking, because she would pass something and she'd be like, oh yeah, something definitely lives in there. And then I'd come face to face with this like crevice, thinking like, she's probably right. What lives in there? And will it make an appearance right now as I'm dangling from this rock? It was legitimately rock climbing up the face of a cliff that when we got to the top was where all the tourists were sitting on the North Lookout watching the hawks. The look on their faces as we came over the edge of this cliff from what looks like nothing. It looks like it's just a big drop down into farmland and into woods. It was really funny. They're all looking at us like, where did you come from? How did you get out there? Why are you out there? Luckily, that was the end of the trip for us. We sat and watched the hawks and watched the tourists and relaxed and laughed. And then we had just a super short trek downhill. There were like railings for part of it to get back to where we had parked our car. And that's the way all these people had come up. It was quite an adventure. I am feeling like, even though I haven't hiked in a while, I'm feeling like I'm good for a time. Rock climbing, that rock climbing was quite an adventure. And I'm ready to not be so outdoorsy for a few weeks. So I'm going to take a little break, hang up my outdoor hat. I saw a funny meme recently. My daughter and I were laughing about it, about the difference between an outdoorsy person and an outsidey person. And my daughter is definitely an outsidey person. She loves the beach. She loves, you know, sitting outside under a tree, having a little picnic with her friends, like being outside. But she's like, why do we have to be the family that, you know, hikes on vacation? Why do we have to be those people, the outdoorsy kind of people? So I'm going to take a page out of her book and be a bit outsidey this fall and not as outdoorsy. I feel like I had enough outdoorsy yesterday with my literal rock climbing experience with no experience prior. So that's my fun catch up. I hope you have some fun fall plans. Get outside, whether you're outdoorsy or outsidey. Being outside is good for the soul. All right, on to today's topic. We're going to be talking about how building awareness can help you lose weight. Now, every 6 months, I open up Fitter After 40. That's my signature program. It's an 8-week coaching program. I open it up every 6 months and I help a new cohort of women lose weight and get strong. We're 2 weeks into the fall round, a little over 2 weeks into the fall round of Fitter After 40. 72 women are inside. And every single time that I host Fitter After 40, I find it so exciting to observe the women having these light bulb moments and to get to guide them as they have these light bulb moments. In the first 2 weeks of FAF, every time, FAF is what I call Fitter After 40, that's the initials. So in the first 2 weeks of FAF, we set up each woman's individualized nutrition plan, and we set up her workout plan. That's the job of the first 2 weeks. And then we work on how do we integrate these plans into your life? What do we need to do to actually help you utilize these plans? Within a very short period of time, light bulbs are going off everywhere as to why they haven't been successful with weight loss in the past. And then we use that awareness to help them do something different this time. I want to give you four examples of light bulb moments of awareness that my Fitter After 40 members have had recently and how you can use those in your own life and your approach to weight loss. How can we help these light bulbs go off for you where you are right now? So we're going to talk about four different experiences and kind of places, four different places where you could shine some awareness to help propel you towards your goal. The first thing I want to talk about is overwhelm. This is a subject that I address every round of FAF on our second call. I coach around overwhelm. And I do this specifically because I know that the women are going to start feeling that that's the word that's going to come up. And though the program guides the women with specific small action steps to take, implementing those in their life can feel like a lot because change is hard. Change is uncomfortable. One of the women thanked me this week for discussing overwhelm because she realized that the 2 week mark is often where she quits a new weight loss program. Does that resonate with you? Like 2 weeks in, you're like, eh. And she says she realizes now it's because she feels overwhelmed at this point. She feels tired of the new behaviors that are out of her comfort zone. That's tiring to be out of your comfort zone. It's mentally tired. It can be tiring. It can be physically tiring, emotionally tiring. And she pointed out that just taking time to acknowledge this sense of overwhelm makes her feel better and ready to move forward. Now, on our group call, we talked about overwhelm as a form of self-sabotage. So I'm not talking about the feeling of overwhelm. That's very real and very normal. But staying in that place of overwhelm is actually a choice you make. It can be a form of self-sabotage to choose to remain overwhelmed. And if you're like, well, why would anybody want to stay in a place of overwhelm? Obviously, I want to get out of that place. Here's the thing. Even though we might be aware that living in that place of overwhelm and just being like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, means we're not progressing towards our goals if we just stay there. But at the same time, doing that, just being like, oh, this is so overwhelming, it doesn't require us to change. We don't have to do the hard things. We can avoid working on our habits that deep down, you know, we kind of enjoy, right? Like we kind of enjoy our nightly half a sleeve of cookies. We kind of enjoy that. And if we're just like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, we don't have to change those things. It's also safer to remain overwhelmed. There's no chance of failure, right? Because you're not really trying yet because you've been trying and it feels overwhelming. So you're just going to throw your hands up and be like, oh, this is so overwhelming. And so that lessens that chance of failure. If you start acting, you might not succeed. And that's scary. So if you make that choice to be like, you know, I'm going to keep acting in the direction of my goals, it can feel scary because there is the possibility of failure. So ask yourself, do you want to get out of that state of overwhelm? Do you want to face that possibility of failure? Do you want to actually require of yourself to do the hard things, to be uncomfortable? Building this kind of awareness of self-sabotage, of overwhelm as a form of self-sabotage can really help you to move towards the direction of your goals, to make an actual choice to continue on even though you have this feeling of overwhelm. So that's the first light bulb moment. Second light bulb moment I see a lot in the early weeks of Fitter After 40 each time is when members realize how little protein they've been eating. One of the women said, I thought I had a high protein day and I was shocked to see it was only 80 grams of protein. One of the other women was stunned to find out in a coaching conversation we had that the reason she was struggling to increase her protein was that she instinctively drew a connection in her mind between high protein and meat. And she doesn't typically eat a lot of meat. And in an effort to increase her protein, she was down in tons of meat. She's buying pork chops, she's eating red meat, and she was feeling physically uncomfortable and she just didn't enjoy this way of eating. And so as I was asking her questions and guiding her to the idea that eating high protein, in fact, does not have to involve meat at all or it can involve a little bit of meat, but you certainly don't need to be downing meat. And so I guided her to name non-meat protein sources she liked, and she was shocked that in very short order she came up with, it was like 8 or 9, like that. And none of them involved meat. So here's what I would say as far as building awareness around your protein. Track your protein intake for a week. See what you uncover. And in addition, make a protein top 10 list. List the protein sources you like best. Do not just list foods that you know are high in protein if you don't actually like them, because the goal is you're going to be actually eating these things long term. We want you to enjoy them. So if you're not a big meat eater, what are the protein sources that you enjoy that are not meat-based? Or if you're like, wait, I do like meat, what kinds of meat? How much do you want of each kind? How will you season it? Like, figure out where can you get protein that you actually enjoy. Doing both of these is going to build awareness of your current protein intake and of where you might look to increase it. All right, light bulb moment number 3 that my new Fitter After 40 members usually have. They are shocked at how many calories they are given on which to lose weight. The Fitter After 40 students watch a video module week 1 explaining calories, energy balance, how to create a deficit, how to figure out their specific deficit calories, and then they follow the process that they learn in the video step by step. And then they come into the community to get feedback from me about the number that they've reached. And they show me their work, right? They don't just give me a number. They say, here's why, here's what you told me to do, here's what you said to think through, here's about my activity, here's all these things, right? Here are the factors I considered, and here's the number I come up with. And then, you know, we work back and forth together to make sure we get that number just right and that we're both feeling, that they're feeling comfortable with it, and I'm confident that they're going to be able to lose weight on those numbers. And so often the feedback is, this can't be right. There's no way I can lose weight on this number of calories. It's way too many. Only to realize once they start eating the calories I've given them that they were eating way more than that before. So maybe they thought they were eating 1,200, 1,300, 1,500. And when they see that the deficit calories I've helped them set are 1,600, 1,800, 2,000, or whatever is right for them, and they spend time diligently tracking that to see what that looks like in terms of amount of food, especially on weekends, they're stunned at how many calories they must have been eating to gain weight and how many calories they can actually eat to lose weight. So build some awareness here. Write down everything you eat, preferably using a tracker or something like Lose It or MyFitnessPal. Can be really helpful. But if you don't want to do that, just writing everything down on a piece of paper with a pen, track everything, especially your weekends, yes, even meals out, and do not stop tracking on days that feel high, because you have more of those days than you might think. So if you're like, oh, this is kind of like, oh, this is a special day, we often have those special days frequently enough that we do want to track on those days to see how many calories are you getting. Okay, last light bulb moment number 4 is when the women in FAF realize how little they actually have been moving in a day, even, and this is where it really blows their mind, even if they work out already or they have active hobbies like, say, bike riding. One of the Fitter After 40 members posted in our group community that she had a shock earlier this week. She had a day full of meetings, and by the time she got home, it was like 8 o'clock at night, she only had 2,000 steps. 2,000 steps. And she was like, what? 2,000? I know I've been in meetings, but still only 2,000? This was a wake-up call for her. And she walked around her street, up and down her street to get her steps up, and now is paying attention to where she can get in more steps during a busy workday. And other members of the group and alumni mentors came in and made some suggestions, like walking loops around her building before her coffee break, setting an alarm to walk every hour, walking to run errands instead of driving. So what I would suggest to you here to build awareness is to track your steps. Yes, even if you feel like you're active because you go to the gym or you ride a bike or you swim, it can be a real surprise how outside of those very limited times, which realistically, how much time in a week do you spend at the gym or in the pool or on your bike, and how outside of that you can actually be a very sedentary person. So track your steps, see what they're looking like on average over the course of a week. That is what I have for you today. I hope it helps. Building awareness is an incredible step toward change in the direction of your goals. All right, I will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.